Hey, you might notice that Steve and Dina Panasuk are gone today, and they're visiting family, and also Jay and Lori are, I heard from a text today, they're in New York City, so praise God for that. We're going to be looking at a number of different scriptures today, but I am really excited about VBS. How many of you are going to be here tomorrow morning? You have some part play. Thank you. God bless you. It's going to be a sweet week, and if you still want to volunteer or come by during the week, come and talk with Kate and others, and they can put you to work, all right, for Vacation Bible School. I really am impressed with the fact that God wants to use our lives. You know, when we're again studying in our Sunday school class this morning, and you know, God chooses to use broken people to do his ministry. If we were perfect, we wouldn't be showing his glory in our flawed bodies, in our flawed minds. But what we're in is we're in this this struggle to walk with God, to allow him to be the master and Lord of our lives. And again, I'm glad we're journeying this together. A couple of thoughts. So we're coming into a glorious week. It's going to be labor-filled and exciting with VBS starting. I did want to say thanks to you who are bringing snacks. Some of you have already got them here. Snacks and helping us with preparation. And I just want to ask, you know, that you continue to pray, that we pray that God will give our people strength and wisdom and discernment and energy for this week as they lead our kids. I think there'll probably be 30-plus volunteers, so when they're all done. I don't know. Guessing, Kate, about 30?
30.
Okay. So you were gone a minute ago when we first talked about VBS. Anything specific you'd like to ask the people to pray for or know as we go into tomorrow? Yeah. Okay. Unity is very important in ministry. Okay. Lord, we pray for that. I wanted to say, too, we are blessed and honored to be in Christ's body, to be gifted by him, to have a Lord and Master to serve with eternal results. You know the kind of things that have temporal results? I mow my lawn, and you know what's going to happen? In about 2 weeks, I get to mow it again. And does anybody really care? You know? And there's a lot of things we do in life that just are temporal things. And some of those things are necessary things. We have to live life and do the things that come along. But some of the things that we do just don't have any more than temporal results. They're just short-lived. And then as Christians, we do things and are participate in things that have eternal results. What kind of things are those? What has eternal results? Just name a few. Prayer. Beautiful. Probably won't see those until we get to eternity. Sometimes we see them. Yeah. It's amazing. When the scripture says, behold how they love one another, it's a huge testimony. It can change people's lives. Yep. Sharing Christ. Go ahead, Jenny. Yep. Hopefully we're doing it all the time by the life we live. And sometimes there are times where God gives us an opportunity to open our mouth and speak about Christ. And, you know, often we're praying, God, give me opportunities or give me the right words to say, especially when you're in the presence of people that you really have a burden for and a heart for. Lord, help me to know what to say. Can God change lives? Man, he's changed our lives. Can God change other people's lives? Absolutely. Okay. So God has given us a mantle of responsibility. He's given us gifts and resources to steward. Again, we can do many things in this life, and they kind of fit into these two categories of temporal and eternal. And what I'd like to do is read from 1 Corinthians. It's going to be up on the screen, and I'd like you to follow along. Thinking about temporal and eternal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Yep, those things are eternal. Before I read Scripture, let me pray. Father, I thank you that you have called us, first of all, to be saved, that you were so merciful and generous to us that you let us know that we are sinners and that we had fallen short and that we needed a Savior. And the Bible clearly describes that Jesus Christ is the Savior of whoever will put their faith and trust, whoever will believe in him, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And Father, thank you that you have indeed gifted us and given us resources, and you established the church. We're the church. The believers in Christ are the church. We happen to meet in this building in Somerset, Lord. But we're the church, and you've called us to be salt and light in this world. Lord, help us be salty for Jesus. Help us be the light. And Lord, when we're struggling between focusing on temporal things that really only benefit us, help us to also be focused on eternal things. Lord, things that will last for eternity. And I pray, Lord, as we read these scriptures, that we'll see these words and these concepts. My prayer, Lord, is that we as a group would be motivated to be about eternal things, about prayer and love and faith and trust and obedience to you. Lord, that we would share the gospel with people who need to be saved. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it starts with verse 5. And let me just read it, and then we'll begin to talk about it. But think about temporal and eternal while we're talking about these things. And think about yourself and how you invest with your life and gifts into what God is doing in this world. Here we go. It says in verse 5, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed." And let me just say that you had to hear the gospel or respond to what God was doing in your soul to be able to believe. And here we list a couple of people who were in the ministry. But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And by the way, would you also note, as we're reading, what God does, that God is the one who gives the increase, and so on. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Let's give credit where credit's due. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Can you see in this passage how what the church does and what we're involved in, there's only one foundation? And the foundation is Christ. God made us. God called us to himself. And anything we do that's going to be eternal, anything we do that's going to have lasting effect, is going to be built on the foundation of Christ. It's what we're doing with Vacation Bible School tomorrow. All of the Bible lessons are centered around, well, they're right out of Scripture. They're not just centered around. They are scriptural stories. And those kids are going to hear the scriptures, and they're going to contemplate the scriptures. They're going to learn more about the truth of God, the foundation of Christ. Now, if anyone builds, and by the way, it is you that's assumed in this, the one who's going to labor, the one who's going to make an effort for Christ, the one who's going to give his ability and his loves to be able to impact the cause of Christ. It says, now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. So each one's work will become clear. So we all have the foundation of Christ, right? Now you're going to take the skills, abilities, the Holy Spirit that's working in you, and you're going to build on the foundation. And so Paul is admonishing us, think about what you're building. Think about what you're doing. Think about the kinds of investments that you are making to build this building of God. I mentioned a silly example of mowing my lawn, a temporal thing, stuff we have to do. Do you do things sometimes that just have temporal effect? Sure we do. We all do. But God wants us to focus on the fact that we are building an eternal investment, an eternal building that God is going to be pleased with. It says this, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Do you know what day that is? The reckoning day, when Christ returns and our time is up and we have no longer time to invest, he's going to just examine and say, well, let's see, how did Jim do with his life? What did he do? You know, the parable of the talents, well, Lord, you know, the Lord will say to me, well, I gave you this many talents. What did you do with those? You remember what some of the people who God gave talents did? Yeah, one guy decided, well, you know, I'm going to bury it, and when he comes back, I'll give it back to him. Right? How pleased was the Lord with that one? You know what he actually said? He said to that servant, he said, you wicked servant, how could you do that? I gave you what I gave you to invest in the cause of Christ, to build on this foundation, and you buried it. Now, this is not very merciful, but he says, I'm going to take that one from you and give it to the ones that invested. When I read these scriptures and I think about maybe we're all introspective and we're looking at our life and we're saying, God, I want to be so much more for you. I want to invest in what you want to invest in. Let me continue reading. Each one will be tested on that day. That day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, on the foundation, endures, he will receive a reward. That's a good thing. You know, many of you have been praying diligently for people in your family, for your friends. That has eternal reward, like someone said earlier. And so on. He will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And what a mercy that is. What a mercy that is. God says there will be some of us who have a foundation in Christ, and maybe we haven't built too much out of gold and silver and precious stones, eternal things, but we've built more out of the wood, hay, and stubble variety. But it says we'll be tested as though by fire. What didn't last is going to be burned up, but the person is going to be saved. We've heard the phrase, right? Saved by the skin of your teeth? Well, you're going to be saved by the mercy of God. But we've got these days, we've got these years, we've got these resources. Let's use them to God's glory. It says in verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Back up to verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I just want to say that's an amazing gift and treasure that we have, that we're the temple of God and the Holy Spirit lives in you. Does God ever call you to be invested in different kinds of ministries? Does he call you to be invested in other people's lives? Does he cause you to reach out and to say something, to bring a word of encouragement, to pray for other people? You know, that's one thing we can do to respond regularly, is that if someone comes to us with a need and we can pray immediately, we can talk to them immediately, we can leave them and go and pray for them again. Okay, so we can invest in temporal concerns. Back in the Gospels, there's the example where a man has a barn and he runs out of space. So you know what he does? He builds a what? He builds a bigger barn to store his temporal stuff in. Yeah. I don't know if we need to take this too literally, because we have a garage and maybe a shed and other things. But there's something about the attitude or the priority of those things. And what in the end of that story, he says, you know, the man says, I'll build bigger barns. And then how does the Lord respond? And he says, you foolish man. You foolish man. Why did you invest in so many temporal things? Because what is the Lord going to require of that person? Their soul. And you know, you're going to say to your soul, you know, I have done all these things. And God's going to say, what did you do for eternity? So we can invest in things that are temporal, or we can invest in things for eternity. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, let's take a look at that. It's going to be up on the screen too. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, do not, these are words in red. I wish it was in red on the screen for you, but Jesus' words, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Do people deal with moths anymore? Most of our stuff is not made out of wool, and the moths kind of leave it alone. But have you ever looked for a piece of clothing and it had a hole in it when you didn't expect it to? And I had a series of books that were given to me by Uncle John, Willie June's uncle. And he had stored them in his basement, and you could see where the termites had gone in and made these little canals through the books. Great books, they just were missing some words. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I think that's kind of a balance in all of our lives. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So each one look at our lives and we say, man, where's my treasure? What do I value the most? What do I invest in the most? What do I spend the most money on? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's take a look at that verse for just a minute. If I can find it. You ever sing the song about the books of the Bible? Find your place. 1 Timothy chapter 6. verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but rather trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Can you see how God is just challenging all of us to think eternally and not just temporally? Kind of as a response and a bit of a report from our deacons meeting, I just want to say thank you to you as a body. 2 weeks ago, a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, we told you about how the church was doing financially. And I'd just like to say thank you for your response. So 2 weeks ago, we told you of the church's need, and you responded graciously and generously. And what a blessing. Your faithfulness allowed the church to continue ministering and even to respond to future needs and ministry opportunities. The church invests to function so that many are blessed and needs are met. So, through your faithful giving, I would just like to remind you of some of the things that happen at Pioneer Bible Church. Through your faithful giving, our missionaries are paid. And 2 weeks ago, I told you that we, as a church budget, that our budget was down about 27% from January through present 2 weeks ago. And we had a savings account as a church. We put away 1% of everything that's given into a reserve account so that we have some money to fall back on. And as of 2 weeks ago, that reserve account was getting really low. That's when I came to you and said, would you reconsider giving, in your giving? And we actually went to our mission committee and said, what would happen if we just kind of across the board did a 27% decrease in all of our budget areas? How would that impact our missionaries, right? So praise God, our missionaries can be supported, and they are supported. Through your faithful giving, our children's ministries are funded. Our utilities are supplied. I don't know if you appreciate air conditioning in the summertime, but it's us giving all together that provides for that kind of a thing. The lights on, the heaters on in the winter, the garbage to be collected. Every once in a while, the garbage man forgets to pick up our garbage bin outside. It's not good, is it? Nope, got to take care of those things. Our utilities are supplied. Our staff is paid. I'm grateful for that. Our insurances and taxes are paid, which is always a responsibility, as you all know. Our church can help those in need. We have a benevolence fund, and it's used periodically for people who are hurting, sometimes for people in our own church body and sometimes for people in the community, but it gives us an opportunity through the benevolence fund to help others. And our ministries and facilities can keep functioning and updated. So I'm just going to remind you and say thank you for your giving that not only did all, that covers all those practical things, but last year, these are some of the things that were completed around here, and your feet are on one of them right now. So new carpet in the sanctuary and offices. Do you even remember the old carpet? It was here so long, we have good, deep memories of our old carpet. It's a nice, fresh, new look, and it's easier to keep upkeep, too, for those that do that, especially for Kathleen. We have completed a remodel in room 6, creating useful and organized space for our clothes ministry, food distribution, quilting, and the AA ministry. And that has been a huge help and a huge blessing. Repainting of many church rooms and office. I don't know if you even noticed that, but Steve is very diligent, and he's just working through, and he's painted just about the whole building so that it looks fresh and new, and it just keeps it nice. The new safety team AED, the automatic defibrillator that is in the office area so that if someone has a heart attack or their heart stops, it's a really simple apparatus that a person could use by simple instructions. In fact, if you ever have to use it, and you may be called on to use it, there's a note right over Dee Dee's office that shows where it is, and when you push the start button, it tells you what to do. It literally walks you through the process, and our deacons felt like that was a very important piece of equipment to have here in saving maybe your life or mine. And radios. Our safety team has radios that they can communicate back and forth. You know, in years past, we didn't think safety was such a big issue. We always felt like the church was a safe place. And now we've realized in our nation and across the world, churches are being targeted and attacked regularly. And we have a team now, so if a safety person's in the back of the church and a safety person's in the front of the church, they have a radio that they can contact each other and just stay in touch. I love it. I probably told you this a dozen times, but for years, Rob and I, we kind of had a plan. What would we do if somebody intruded, if somebody caused a problem? And Rob and I had a plan, and it was just kind of as big as me and Rob. And you know what? Honestly, I don't even think about it anymore. I know that in this room right now, there are people on our safety team who are just watching. They're keeping watch over our flock by day. Out in the hallway, there are guys right now who are on our safety team out front, and all they're doing is being eyes and ears to watch over us. And you know, it really doesn't make a huge difference until there's someone who means harm to us. So those are things we've invested in. New wood enclosure, roof structure, the fence and gates for our wood area back in the back. By the way, if anybody wants to take any of this wood out here, please take it. We don't know how to get rid of it now. And so if you can come and use it, cut it up, do anything you want. If somebody just wants to do a big bonfire, as long as you have a permit and it's burn time, you can do that. We'd love to do that. New gates outside to keep our Awana children safe and secure. We've got these gates on the end now so that when the kids go to the playground, nobody can come in to that gated area unless they come through the church, because those are locked during Awana time so that the kids can't escape either. Nobody can come in and nobody can go out. It's just a safety feature. And then a new children's ministry computer check-in system to keep all the kids labeled thanks to some real handy people here and technological people like Mark Colgan who have worked with us to do that. So thank you. You know, those are practical things. And you know in your own household, and you know how much things cost along the way. So the deacons also talked about future projects. Because we have a regular budget that covers all the things that I listed and more. And then there are just things that are needed for the future. And we think a few things. First of all, would you pray about this list of things? And would you maybe ask God, can I participate in one of these things along the way? For instance, if any of you have cooked in our kitchen on our stove, and you know it's inefficiency, you'd know why we're asking and seeking to find a new commercial stove in our kitchen. Because we cook a lot of food in there for different things. So let's run through these. So first of all, the first and priority is that these two buildings out in the back, have you noticed the kind of trendy plastic that's on the top of the buildings? Out back? That's because the roofs are not secure. And we have some bids, and we have some ideas out there about how to cover these buildings, and they're kind of pricey. But you see the amount; those are dollars, the $7,800, the $1,680, and the $5,000. And so what that's going to do is put a roof over those portable buildings, both buildings. It's a roof that looks like that, and it'll be a steel roofed top over the top. And these projects are not in our regular budget, but they're things that are needed. And actually, our deacons are hoping that maybe you would have an interest. In fact, a brother came to me this morning and said, I'd like to give toward that project, which was very exciting. Parking lot repair. I don't know if you've, some of you noticed also the trendy caution tape out on the asphalt outside that kind of marks off. And if it's winter time and you drive on some of our parking lot, it's a bit like, you know, a marshland. And we have a lot of underground water that needs to get taken away and a new surface on top. And so I originally had a number there, but we've had someone come in and give us a bid for the whole parking lot to reseal it and re-stripe it and so on. It's a big number, like over $10,000 to do that. But we need to at least do the repairs on the parking lot itself. The stove is somewhere between $25,000 and $3,000. A new commercial freezer. And another thing that our safety team, you see the nursery area? Out here? Here. You have an idea out here too? Maybe that'll be on the list. So outside here, Keith, who is the head of our safety team, has done an outstanding job. And he would like for us to be able to know how to vacate this room if we had to, if there was a fire or if there was an emergency. And if people went out this where it says emergency exit only, we might end up breaking some legs because there are concrete forms out there, but there's no concrete sidewalks. And so we need to complete these sidewalks, and we need to complete the little yard out there for the kids to be in as well. New propane lines to our furnaces and stove next winter. Now this, you guys are probably thinking, why are we in a business meeting right now? This is just family stuff. And what happens is now we have furnaces running, and if the stove's running, there's not enough propane volume to feed everything. And so we can't get the propane to the unit to make it work. And so we're going to need to run some new lines to raise our volume and have enough gas to get to each of those things. That's a fairly small project. And then I was hesitant to write this on here, but it's something that we as a church made a commitment to. And just realistic numbers. Pastor Rob served here for 43 years. And we made a very concerted effort to provide for him. And it doesn't look like much when you first say the numbers. The numbers are about $1,800 a month, and that covers some health insurance costs and a small pension for Rob. But when you add that up over 20 years, that's the number that comes up. So over 20 years, it's going to be about $420,000 to be able to fund that. And most of you know Pastor Rob. But maybe in 10 years, the body that's here, some of you may be gone. And how are we going to fund that for him? Now, at the end of that, and these numbers are probably making you shake right now. It's like, wow, that's a lot of money. But we have done some homework. And if we were to invest just about half of that in this next year or so, $220,000, it would cover Rob for the rest of his life at the same amount. So we either do it, you know, it's just like a loan. You either do it over a long period of time and it costs this much, or if you pay up front, it'll cover for the rest of his life. And so it is a big amount. The question that we've been saying and the truth that we've been talking about is, how big is our God? You know? And yeah. So would you just keep all these things in mind? Now, if you look at it alone and think, wow, I can't do that. It's not you. It's us. It's us working together and us deciding that maybe God will put on your heart that you really love stoves. And it would just be really exciting to you to have a new stove in the kitchen. Or maybe you're really concerned about the sidewalks and you want to give toward that. What you need to know, though, too, is that these things need to be over and above your regular giving, because we have the regular budget that we're providing for, first of all. Okay. So, keep those things in mind. Be praying about them. Ask. You know, maybe the majority of you are thinking, not now. I can't do anything like that now. Praise God. But maybe there's one or two or three of you that are thinking, I have really had it on my heart to do something over and above that could bless this body of Christ. And maybe you'd like to participate in that. Just let us know. So there are many ways to give, and I'd just like to offer a few things about this. We give our gifts and tithes and offerings. We do not give because God needs our money. Do you know that God does not need your money? Why? He's the owner and giver of everything, right? Everything that you have, everything that I have is from the Lord. He's just made us stewards over it. And so here we are. God does not need our money, but what is the truth? We give because we need to learn to trust God. And you know what? Old Testament and New Testament, believers have always been generous, have always been giving, have always taken care of the poor, have always, back in the Old Testament, provided for the temple and the needs of the temple and the priests and the people that were serving. So we do not give because God needs our money. We give because we need to learn to trust in God. We give and because we understand that everything that we have comes from God. We give because God shows us this is the practice of believers from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We are encouraged in our giving because as we give, God promises He will provide for us. Do you know that? I think most of you do. He encourages us. God says, if you give, I will take care of you. And He does. Anybody say amen to that? He does. He takes care of His people. And we give and can testify that we can never outgive God. I have heard so many of you people say that. You can't outgive God. So two principles that I would like to leave us with today. Two principles of giving from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Let me read this. Two slides, one principle. This is what Paul says. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each person, each one, give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Can you just kind of summarize that in your mind? What is Paul saying? What is God saying through Paul to us? He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Do you know that that's a step of faith? I'll tell you why it's a step of faith. I know my bills. I know my income. I know my expenditures. And I just practically look at it and I go, if I take this and I give it there, I won't have this to do what? Pay my bills, right? And I think for all of us, we constantly have to look, too, at what we choose to purchase along the way so that we're not so taxed that we can't give. By the way, and I know you know this, I don't have a clue what anybody in this church gives. I don't have any inkling whatsoever. We have one treasurer and one helper, and they count the money, and they keep an accounting so that we have everything clear. This is between you and the Lord. Absolutely between you and the Lord. Now, there's a second thing. You have all heard of, I just call them faith preachers. He says, if you'll send $100, then God will bless you and you will have everything you need. Right? And they have made a mockery of this principle. Here's what God says. You, between you and God, he just says, if you sow sparingly, you will, and it is the context. The context is giving, is being part of the body, is being part of God's family. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. And sometimes I have to ask myself in my own family budgeting, is the reason I don't have enough for my needs because I am not generous? And maybe the generosity is toward the church. Maybe the generosity is toward a friend who's in need. Maybe the generosity comes in different forms. But here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, God is truth. The scripture is truth. You are a child of God. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will what, God says? You will reap bountifully. Now, it is not an equation that God is saying people are going to be rich. What God is saying is, you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Let me finish the passage. Verse 8 again, and God is able to make all grace, by the way, that's a good gift, abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You know what? As part of that principle, it is a beautiful truth. And he says, look, you trust me, I will provide for you so that you can do what? Continue to be what? Generous. God will provide so that you can continue to be generous. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, the second part of this on the next slide. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And by the way, isn't that what we're talking about? To increase the fruits of your righteousness. To have eternal fruit for the faithful giving that you participate in. Verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. You know, when people give, when we need to give, when I obey and trust God and I write a check or I give what the Lord is asking me to give, what that causes is an attitude of thanksgiving in the ones who receive it. And they're just like, oh, Lord, thank you so much for providing, right? It says, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. Okay? So that's principle number one. Principle number two in Luke chapter 6. Jesus is saying, give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. This is actually a really fun picture. Do you ever go to the store and you're looking maybe at a basket of tomatoes or a basket of cherries or apricots? Which one do you want to buy? Do you ever count how many cherries or how many apricots? What do you want? You want the biggest for your dollar, right? And you want to be sure that they're not spoiled and not bruised and that kind of stuff, right? But here, the picture is this. It says when you go to buy a bushel of something, it's okay if they just pour it in. But in this case, it says the owner has pressed it down and refilled and pressed it down again so that when you get that bushel of whatever it is, you got everything you can get. And it says the measure in which you measure in your giving will be measured to you. Let me read that again. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. You know how you shake things to kind of make it settle? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use to be generous, it will be measured back to you. Yes. That's beautiful.
So I have to remember when I'm doing this. Right. Why am I doing it? Right. I'm afraid.
Yep.
I'm not trusting. And then I can open up.
That's right.
And I do. I have never been let down. God has never let me down. Ever. I have let me down.
That is amazing.
God has not let me down.
Yep.
So I have.
Right. Right. So, you know, Keith got up here a couple weeks ago and said something like, you know, Pastor Jim hates to talk about this stuff. And there is an uncomfortability talking about it. But I'll tell you what, these are spiritual truths. If you heard this message and left Pioneer Bible Church and went somewhere else, these same principles follow you for the rest of your spiritual life. Until you take your last breath here. These are principles that God has established that believers listen to and they heed, they obey. So in the first part of my message, I talked about three words, belief. First of all, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you belong to Him. Praise God for His mercy. Praise God we belong to Him. The second word was contentment. And that is a challenge. It's a challenge for me. Maybe it is for you. To be content with what you have. And when we're not content, often we'll strive for something bigger and better instead of being content. And we have to be cautious that we don't overextend ourselves. And that's between you and God. There's not an ounce of judgment for me. It's just the truth. That we believe in a great God who saved us. And so now it's like, okay, Lord, I want to walk with you. You gave your all. Lord, help me give my all. Not just money, my time, my life, everything to you. And then obedience. What does that call us up to? We believe in Him. Lord, keep me content with the things that I have. Help me be careful. Help me be wise. Help me be discerning with my material goods. And then He says, and follow me. Be obedient. Respond to the truths of the word. The truths I'm talking about today have to do with giving and finances and walking in obedience. The last three verses. And by the way, I want you to know, I wish I could preach a sermon on the tithe, because lots of people wonder about that, and I've been studying a lot about the tithe. And I'll just tell you three quick things. First of all, there was the temple tithe, where they gave 10% to the temple, and that was kind of like their government in the Old Testament system. You pay taxes, right? I pay taxes. We pay taxes to run the government. In that day and age, the priests and the temple were the government, and they gave 10% to do that. And then they gave an additional 10% that they gave to the to the temple and the priests and to keep them alive and surviving. And then there was a third 10% that was given over 3 years to help the poor and the needy. And so it's been calculated, it's about 23.5% of tithing type money that would come out of the Jewish people's pocket. If you were to look at Exodus 36 and you were to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that we've just read, there is a principle of giving that has always been true for the believers, and that's this: give with a cheerful heart whatever God puts on your heart to give. That's it. There's no rules of tithe for the people of God. It's just remembering God gave his all. Lord, what are you calling me to give? So he wants you to give cheerfully, not grudgingly, and give whatever he puts on your heart to give. Isn't that great? That's a trusting relationship between God and us. Yeah, let's pray together. Our Father, I thank you. I thank you so much that spiritual principles always work. And I thank you, Lord, that like Joy just testified, whenever she has opened her hands and been generous, that you have provided. And I've heard dozens of people in this church say that. Lord, I don't know why our budget has struggled for the last few months. But what I know, as my brother Jim reminded me, that you have always provided for the needs of Pioneer Bible Church. And I thank you. We give you honor and glory for that. Father, I pray that as we kind of some huge projects, that you would touch our hearts, and Lord, that you would provide through ways that only you can do. Lord, help us to be people who have a cheerful, giving heart. And Lord, that you would put on our heart what it is that we are to give. Then, Lord, help us to trust you in that and wait on your promises. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Lord, help us to measure out. And thank you for the promise that you will measure back. Thank you for caring for us, for taking care of us, for providing for us. Lord, I pray that if anybody is upset by this message today, that we just realize these are principles from God's word, and they're true, and they work, and they bring blessing. Father, we love you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you are here today and you don't know Jesus, well, then you've just learned some biblical truth about giving. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, we invite you to know him. It is a life of blessing like none other. We need to be saved. We want to go to heaven. We want to have eternal fruit. If you'd like to know more about trusting Christ as your Savior, come and talk to us. Some of us are going to be here after we sing this song, and we'd love to pray with you. Let's stand together and worship God.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall.
Amen. So be praying for Vacation Bible School tomorrow morning, and pray that a lot of kids will hear about Jesus. Father, we thank you for today. We commit today to you. Pray, God, that you would be glorified in our lives. Help us, Lord, to believe, to be content, and to obey. Thank you, Lord, that Joy and many others have found that we can't outgive you. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.
Test.